Luke chapter 4. We'll read the first 13 verses. Luke chapter 4, from verse 1 through verse 13. We also welcome our online congregation. God bless you as He blesses us here this morning in Jesus' name. Luke 4 from verse 1. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days He ate nothing, and afterward, when they had ended, He was hungry. If you have the authorized King James, it will say He was a hungry. Verse 3. And the devil said to Him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." But Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, "All this authority I will give you, and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours." Verse 8. And Jesus answered and said to him, "Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you will serve." And he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered and said to him, "It has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Now, when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. May the Lord bless his words into our hearts. In Jesus' name. We'll be speaking this morning on the subject, "It is written." It is written. You will observe in this story, with which I assume and I expect many of us to be familiar, the temptation of the Lord Jesus. Satan came and tempted him three times. And each of the three occasions, Jesus replied, "It is written." Can we say, "It is written"? Say it loud, "It is written." The Bible contains the written word of God. What is written is not written in any other book, but the scriptures. And so this Bible contains the written word of God. The word of God that is put down in black and white. And to understand what we are saying this morning, please note that in the Bible, what is written in the Bible reveals God. Reveals concerning God, reveals His person. Who God is. What is His nature? What He likes, what He dislikes is written in God's word. Not only does it reveal His person, the word of God reveals His precepts, His teachings, His instructions, His doctrines. What we should do, what we should not do. The word of God concerning God reveals His promises. What He has promised you, what He has promised me, what He has promised to provide, what He has promised to direct, He has promised to protect. All of it are in the Bible. I've said thus far three things that the word of God reveals about God. Number one, if you are not familiar, you come and preach here for 5 minutes. What's the first thing that the Bible reveals about God? His person. Number two, His precepts. Number three, His person, His precepts, His promises, and finally His punishment. The reprimand, the repercussion for doing something wrong. It is all written in the Bible. His person, who He is, what He likes, what He dislikes, His precepts, His teachings, His commandments, not advice, instructions. His promises and His punishment. I've said what the Word of God reveals about God. Now, what does the Word of God reveal about us? About you and about me. It reveals to us who we are. That song says, as He is, so we are in the world. That is in the Bible. That didn't come from the brain of that lady. It is in the Bible. So it reveals who you are. In other words, your identity. My identity. It reveals what we have. In other words, our inheritance. You may be sitting down broke. If you take your ATM card to the bank, even the ATM machine will say, ah, sister, you don't have money. Why have you come? But that doesn't mean that is all you have. The written word provides, shows you what you have. What you have inherited. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. What God has, you have, because you are His child. So not only does it show your identity, not only does it show your inheritance, it shows where we are. Where are you? Where are you? We are seated with Him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You are where you are untouchable because your life is hid with Christ in God. That's your location. It also shows your destination, where you are heading for. The Bible tells us, if you give your heart to the Lord Jesus, when Jesus comes back for the elect, you will reign with Him in heaven. But if you refuse to give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, when He comes, He says you are condemned already. You already know where you are going. You don't need to pray. You don't need anybody to help you. So concerning you and I, it shows our identity, shows our inheritance, it shows our location, it also shows our destination. So that is the background. Are we still here this morning?
Yes, sir.
So when we go through life circumstances, when we go through situations in life, whatever, good or bad or ugly, we need to compare what we are going through with what the Word of God says. Compare and contrast. Because the Word of God has already told you who you are, what you have, where you are, where you are heading for. So if the Word of God has said it, and the Bible says the Word of God is settled, whether you believe it or not, whether you know it or not, it doesn't change God's word. Forever, oh Lord, your word is settled in heaven. It is set forever. Word of God is settled, telling you who God is, telling you who you are. And so it is important that you and I, as children of God, know the word. It is already written. And that's why if you are a born again Christian, you have given your heart to the Lord Jesus, you must be students of the word. You must be lovers of God's word. Because it contains everything you need to know about you. It contains everything you need to know about God, your maker, and your creator. So we need to read the Bible. If on a one-on-one basis, between 6 a.m. yesterday, Saturday, and now, you have read the Bible on your own. Let me see your hand up. Very good, about half. If you have eaten between 6 a.m. yesterday and now, can I see your hand up? You have eaten, you are sure, at least one meal above your head. Put your hands down. So the same way we eat our physical food, we should eat and devour the Word of God. Read, one, understand, two, three, believe it, that it is God's word about you. Four, appropriate it to yourself. It is relevant to you. It's not just about Peter and John. It is not about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It is also about you. And then apply it. In other words, read or hear or watch. Understand through meditation. Believe that is God's word concerning you. Appropriate it to yourself and then apply it. Why you need to do that is that there are many sources of words. Satan sends words to you. You may not know it's Satan, but the spirit of the enemy will be telling you, you are a failure. This is today's date. You know you will not be alive by the end of this year. Has anybody been spoken to by the devil before? If you have been spoken to by the devil before, let me see your hand up. He will suggest things to you. And so when he speaks, line it up with God's word. When contrary words came to Jesus, he didn't say, our fathers used to say. He said, it is written. So when the words of Satan comes to you, confront it with, it is written. Confront it with. So Satan suggests anything to you. No, that is not written. And confront it with what is written. The Bible says, I will not die, but I will live to declare the works of the Lord. The Bible says that with long life, he will satisfy me. And he will continually show me his salvation. It is written. Even men may speak contrary words to you. Your parents, your teachers, your lecturers, your boss. At the rate at which you are going, you cannot amount well. Have you been spoken evil words to before? Confront it with it is written. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm head and not tail. I am healthy. He says, no disease of Egyptians shall be brought upon me. He says, I will take all sicknesses away from you. He says, no plague shall come near your dwelling. Is that in your word? So when contrary words come from Satan, when contrary words come from people, confront it with it is written. Sometimes contrary words come, unfortunately, from you. This car can never work. I've bought a terrible car. This car is a great mistake. I've bought a devourer. With this headache, one day I will just collapse and die. People say that a friend of mine, beloved friend of mine, medical doctor, my friend for many years, very, very selfless, very good friend of mine, but unbeliever. I got born again. He was still an unbeliever. And one day I went to him in clinic. He was my client and friend. And he said, Femi, one day you will just come here and find, and you will be told I'm dead. And he told me the disease he was suffering from, I didn't know. Terrible disease. Within 5 years, he was dead. That's somebody who doesn't know God. Your mouth can pronounce something contrary to what is written. Never allow anything to come out of your mouth different from what is written about you. Don't forget, God's word contains, reveals God. It reveals you, who you are, what you have, where you are, where you're heading for. It is written. So the choice is yours. Whether to accept or reject anything contrary.
The Bible says, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven.
Bind means whatever you forbid. Because binding, you may be thinking, I don't have rope. I don't have any chain. What it means is whatever you forbid, you say no to. Concerning your life, which is not written, he said it shall be forbidden in heaven. And he said, whatever you lose, that word lose means whatever you permit, whatever you accept, whatever you allow in your life shall be allowed in heaven. So when the enemy throws darts, arrows to you, he's giving you a dummy. He wants to know whether you will accept it or not. And you need to say, no, that is not my portion. It is not written. What is written is that whatever I lay my hands on shall prosper. What is written about me is that I will not borrow. I will lend not to people, not to people, not to people. I will lend to who? Is somebody lending to nations on the, in this generation? His name is Bill Gates. When he comes to Abuja, 10 governors will go and queue up in his hotel suit. Human being. And he's not a born-again Christian. He says, you are going to be above only and not beneath. That is what is written. Any other thing is contrary. So I end with this story. Are we still in church this morning? The Second World War happened between 1939 and 1944. How many people were alive then? If you're alive, maybe just two or three of us. It was started by Hitler from Germany, but he had some people supporting him, especially in Asia. Japan was its most ardent supporter against the rest of the world. The rest of the world, called Allied Forces, was led by the United States. So it was a terrible war for about 5 years. Many, many thousands of lives were lost. Towards the end of the war, the general, the U.S. commander in chief of the Allied Forces was Douglas MacArthur. He was the one who won the war. But there was the only U.S. general captured was named Jonathan Wainwright. Don't forget, don't worry about the name if you can't pronounce it. At least remember Jonathan. So, unfortunately, he was left in Philippines. And when the enemy bombarded, they captured him. It was the only U.S. general captured in the five-year war. Jonathan Wainwright. So he was taken as prisoner of war to Mongolia in Japan. And he was there, being maltreated, being felt, no medical treatment, and juniors were using him to walk like many other soldiers. Some months later, Hitler committed suicide. The enemy surrendered. And MacArthur became ruler in that area on behalf of the U.S. and the rest of the world. But this was Wainwright in the prisoner's camp. He didn't know that the war had ended. Are we in church this morning? And so the Japanese generals were still tormenting him and controlling him and many others in that prisoners of war camp for several weeks after the war had ended, because he didn't know the war had ended. And so many times the Japanese general maltreating him will be saying, has he known? If he has not known, go and fetch water, go and cut grass, I will beat you. Being assured that the man didn't know. Then one day an helicopter dropped in the prisoner of war's camp, and a U.S. colonel knew that he had been arrested and he was there, looked for him and went to him and saluted. General Wainwright, Hitler is dead. The enemy has surrendered. We have been declared victor. He saluted him. And I'm told to tell you that the highest U.S. officer should take over the camp. General Wainwright, sick, maimed, who had been tormented for several weeks, now limped to the office of the commander, the Japanese commander, whatever may be his name, Colonel XYZ, your commander-in-chief has surrendered to my commander-in-chief. the war is over. I take over this camp. And the man said, yes, sir. What am I saying? He was ignorant of what was written, and he was under slavery that was not justified because of ignorance. No wonder the Bible says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. You should know what is written about you and accept nothing else. For it is written, you are head and not tail. Let's stand up to pray.